This is KAZU, Pacific Grove, Monterey Bay Public Air Radio. My name is Mae Brussel. The title of the next hour, 2 hours of broadcasting, is World Watchers. It is program number 838, December 28th, 1987. Before I begin the program, I want to say the views expressed here are those of myself and do not necessarily reflect the views of KAZU staff or board of directors. This hour, World Watchers, is made possible in part by Aries Arts in the heart of Capitola Village, serving Santa Cruz's growing consciousness for over 20 years. Before I begin the program, I want to wish the listeners, World Watchers, a very happy New Year. Some of you will get a copy of this broadcast after New Year's, but I'm sure you won't mind being a few days late and being wished a very happy New Year. I really appreciate you people who've been listening. Continue to listen, sent wonderful letters, cards, called, enjoyed hearing from you. I always do. The New Year's is not a big event in my life, as I was explaining to my daughter before I came into the studio. To me, the most important thing is I begin a new calendar, all clean, the daily and the monthly, and I swear I won't mess it up and write all over it and scribble by the 5th of January. It just looks like last year's calendar, and I'm off messing it up again. But outside of that, every day to me is the beginning of a new year, and the calendar just gives us time for new resolutions that we hope we keep. And, of course, we know we get off of them, not to be pessimistic, but they don't really last too long. So I don't take this transition time just too seriously. As for the news this evening, I'm not going to wind up the year with a lot of happy stories or tales of things that we can dream or float about, because while we have happy events in our lives, we have to balance them by being alert and watch what's going on in the world, because other matters are consuming our energy and our time, and to pretend they're not existing is to assure the lack of our own existence. We have to remain vigilant against forces who expect us to use happy time, television, movies, and documentaries, and all kinds of stories, little anecdotes, that divert us sometimes from facing the realities of the world. Speaking of the realities of the world, I want to run down some of the news stories just in the past week that are symptomatic of ways that we must look at the world. I always talk about the Odessa, the plot of the Nazis to go underground, to take course in this country and to control our destiny. And I notice in the news just this past week, articles where the United States government is taking this very authoritarian father figure to other countries while we condone violence, terrorism, and mass murders and torture among our own allies. An example is a story in the Washington Post, December 5th, large headline, United States Wants Afghan Pullout. And Ronald Reagan's New Year's message before he left Washington to come to California just today on the news was, get out of Afghanistan. Another typical headline article, December 14th, the New York Times, American officials conclude that General Noriega of Panama should go tomorrow. That's Afghanistan and Panama. Then another one, House votes vote calls on Nicaragua to comply with democratization, and deadlines and times were set down to have democracy in Nicaragua. That's Washington Times, December the 9th. And on the other hand, we court and support these dictatorships continuously and don't use words that they should go tomorrow, that the forces of putting down the middle class, the lower, the third world, or even those who want change, we don't order those forces to pull out. We pay other countries to continue the repressions along with what is going on in particular countries. An example was the election in South Korea. A large article in the Los Angeles Times last week, two losers call South Korean vote invalid. They vow to overturn Roe's victory. The new president, Roe Tae-woo, was responsible for the murdering of 2,000 students in South Korea, the coup that took place when the president of Korea was shot. He's now officially elected. Another story, Roe's election applauded by the United States. And another one, South Korea, as two losing Kims charge vote fraud. There was outright fraud, murder, violence, and the United States says to the killer, we recognize you. That's okay. You are the official government, even if the people in South Korea are screaming about their rights. As far as Haiti, there were headlines in the past week, Haiti crisis made in the USA. That was published December 14th, 1987. People's Daily World. Another, terrorism in Haiti leaves military in full control. Democracy is distant. LA Times, December 17th. We don't say, Haiti, put in a democracy or we're coming to get you. Another, terror paralyzes Haiti in the wake of halted elections. San Jose Mercury, December 15th. Army officials linked to the Haitian terror and to Papa Doc Duvalier, the son of Papa Doc, little Papa Duvalier, and his army. San Francisco Examiner, December 14th. We don't say, get out tomorrow, you military people, make a democracy and pull out. In El Salvador, another ally that we have recently given millions of dollars to, headline, Salvadorian amnesty frees the killers of American advisors. Two American advisors were killed in 1981, Michael Hammer and Mark Perlman, and our allies in El Salvador have released the killers of Americans. Another one, three terrorists who killed six Americans will be freed. United States provides Duarte with $448 million in foreign aid this year. 19 were murdered, and they're now freeing, as of December 21st, 1987, the terrorists who killed six Americans. I have more on that episode. The gun for killing the Americans came from Miami. A person who planned the killings went to Mexico and then to the United States. The people responsible for the killing were trained in Vietnam with American forces. And so our ally El Salvador is releasing the people who kill Americans. As far as El Salvador, another headline. Two Human Rights Commission members, Rene Vargas and Herbert Anaya, were gunned down. One killed October 16th, just several months ago, 1987, and another one December 10th, 1987. Two Human Rights Commission members gunned down. Not a word from Washington. Another headline, government official heads the death squads. Colonel Renato Lopez Nuilla, known as Commander Akie Berries, heads the death squad. He killed four union members in El Salvador. We know that Gaddafi couldn't kill four people in Libya without our invading the country, but that's okay for El Salvador to release the people who killed Americans and to pay them for it, and not a word that we direct against Nicaragua, Afghanistan, or Panama. In Chile, there have been articles about Pinochet's threat to murder 17 theatrical people or artists, to actually kill them by the death squads if they do the improvisation theater work that they're doing. Another headline, free speech severely restricted in Chile. Washington Post, December 5th, 1987. Another one, Chilean sought by United States, Colonel Pedro Espinoza Bravo. This was head of the Chilean secret police, was living in South Africa, protected, our government knew it. He was behind the murder of Orlando Letelier and Ronnie Moffitt in Washington, D.C. He's now back in Chile, protected by the United States government, South Africa, and Chile. And, of course, they didn't want him in the United States because that murder would link to George Bush, who was CIA director, who worked with Colonel Pedro Espinoza Bravo in Chile. Another article about Chile, rights activist tells the United States of horror and torture in Chile. This is a country put in by Richard Nixon and John McCone and the CIA and Henry Kissinger. That's our ally. Continuous horror and torture. These are just articles from this past week, December 16th, 1987, Washington Post, and another article, Chile's Pinochet, the legacy of executions, torture, and kidnappings to quell dissent. And that's published even in Reverend Moon's newspaper, The Washington Times, November 13th, 1987. And then getting back again, U.S. orders the Russians out of Afghanistan. We plan to go into Panama. They should get rid of Noriega tomorrow. And Nicaragua will be invaded if they don't have a democracy. The hypocrisy continues. As far as the Honduras, there's an article just this past week, New York Times, December 20th. U.S. guardsmen are building roads in Honduras. Since 1984, more than 30,000 United States soldiers from 35 states have been constructing roads in Honduras, making it a part of the United States. It's actually an extension of the United States, just as is Puerto Rico. Another story, six Honduran drug arrests. Cuban Americans, Bolivians, links to the Contras, Washington Post, December 16th. We have all of our army there and people that are directly related into the offices of George Bush, the vice president, and to Ollie North and the secret team and the bases to invade Nicaragua. And now the drug arrests are being connected to the Iran-Contra defendants through articles in the newspaper, but we send all these soldiers down and ignore the drugs and build up Honduras. Another story this past week, December 16, 1987, in the Miami Herald, United States sent two new jets to Honduras to maintain their military capability and their record of killing native populations, the Indians that have been in their refugee camps and so forth, is not good. As far as our ally Japan, who is beating us economically, taking us across the board, and will one day probably own the United States with investments and debts that they're helping us with now. There was an article, Washington Post, December 16th. All these articles I'm citing are this week or just prior to that. Japan pledges to assist in Southeast Asia. Japan took Southeast Asia in World War II, and now they are ready to militarily help us, and we are locating a nuclear fleet down in Southeast Asia in order to control the entire world with the help of Japan and Germany. Another story, thank goodness this happened, but it won't happen forever. A Senate panel temporarily has rejected a plan for Japan to be shipping plutonium for the United States, Washington Post, December 18th. The United States was to allow several hundred pounds of plutonium in the next 30 years to go to Japan. Extremely potent cancer-causing agent would go into casks to protect it that are not yet invented. I was on a ship in 1936. My family took a trip around the world, and we were delayed hours sending scrap metal to Japan, and later the scrap metal fell on the Americans at Pearl Harbor. Now we want to send them plutonium that could cause enough cancer for the entire world, and they should put it in casks not invented and help us with Southeast Asia, which was what they wanted just 45 years ago, if people have memory. We're also building up Ecuador, and I'm not taking every country, just the ones in the news that I've been reading the past week. Washington Post, December 26th, United States is building roads and practicing the U.S. Army in Ecuador. The National Guard was cutting 3 miles of road through Amazon jungles that they said could be war stoppers, sending 400 bulldozers, trucks, 600 troops. The Ecuadorian government finally objected to the Americans being there. They said it was a great training in cutting down forests, seeing the Indian population, getting our feet well into the Ecuadorian jungles in order to take control of all South America. Regarding Panama, there were several important articles. One, Panama says the United States plans murder, that they will kill Commander-in-Chief General Noriega. This was published December 17, 1987. And also regarding Panama, as I cited in the very beginning, we said that government should go tomorrow. If we want the canal, if we want to shut Noriega up because he worked with Ollie North and knows where the Panamanian banks are, literally where the bodies are buried, it's time to get rid of Noriega. They plan to kill him. Another one, U.S.-Panama struggle intensifies. Congressional sanctions to take place. We're near an all-out conflict. Washington Post, December 16, 1987. The United States supports these insurgents, these mercenaries, these soldiers of fortune, the Rangers, the SEALs, prepared to take any and every country, destabilize it, and do what it wants with it. And Israel is attacking the West Bank. Headline, Arabs under Israel's thumb. Resentment occupies Palestinian camps. San Francisco Examiner, December 26th. A friend asked me or wondered if I would do the entire program or part of it on the Middle East and the attacks the Israelis are doing, just gunning down people. They've given permission to kill on site. They've arrested over 1,000 people and cannot solve the PLO problem. They can make hydrogen bombs, neutron bombs, go to the moon, help with aerospace, medical discoveries, but the country of Israel can't work with the people right next to them, and they don't intend to. What we're going to see in the Middle East is what Great Britain did to Ireland. It's going to be an IRA situation. It's been that way since World War II, and it's getting worse. Another headline or large story, there's always harassment in the camp, the PLO camp, day and night. The Israelis stop and search young people. Sometimes they hit them. I don't know why. San Francisco Examiner, December 26th. The craziness that's going on in Israel, and after they survived Germany, the ones that did, you would think there'd be a little letting down, but it's barbaric, and the Western world watches it. Could Gaddafi or Arafat behave this way and have the approval of the nations of Japan, Germany, and the United States that the Israelis have for what they do? Another story, Israelis arrest hundreds, issue an order to shoot the riot leaders, Monterey Herald, December 24th. And then another story, sources of Israeli information, there are moles and spies among the Israeli spies, Miami Herald, and this goes into Jonathan Pollard, the secrets that the Israelis used and took with Rafi Eitan and Jonathan Pollard and his wife from Navy intelligence are in the hands of the Soviet Union. And Pollard isn't, I've read articles that spies should get the death penalty. He's from the Mossad and he's from Navy intelligence, and our government doesn't say a word about Jonathan Pollard and the deceptions he's doing to the United States. They tell Russians get out of Afghanistan, a country that's as close to them on their border. Nicaragua isn't even on our border, but close. And we say, Panama, we need the canal. You get out, Noriega. And Nicaragua, you better be a democracy. But what about these other countries? And what about the duplicity? And I'm just citing the examples of what have been things that have been in the news lately. Now, this year has been one of the most tremendous scandals, but they're literally mind-boggling, and I could do 1 hour each week on each of them, or 2 or 3 hours, and sometimes I do. It's hard to comprehend the craziness that's going on. The Kurt Waldheim story is cooking up, and of course, it turned out later that the United Nations and the CIA knew Waldheim was a Nazi criminal very early in the game, and they hid it. One article, controversy over the war record restricts his presidency. That's the LA Times, December 21st. Now he's an inactive president in Austria. The chickens are coming home to roost. They knew all of that, and they are in a lot of trouble in Austria. And I'm citing our allies. Austria is one of our allies, as are Chile and Honduras and Ecuador and El Salvador and the countries that we mess up. Austria is one of our closest allies. As far as, there's another article, Austria confronts the issue that won't go away. They're discussing the resignation of Kurt Waldheim. That's Washington Post, December the 20th. And it was Time or Newsweek that had an article, Waldheim Endgame, the evidence of his war record as a war criminal is horrendous. And there was another article this week that the Soviet Union knew all along that he was a Nazi war criminal, and therefore they blackmailed him into making decisions for Yugoslavia, favorable to Yugoslavia, favorable to other countries in Europe. And I always said that one of the reasons to bring out these crimes, whether it's the murder of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, not only set the record straight, but the people involved have been blackmailed and compromised, and you can't separate truth from fiction, Republican from Democrat, and the basis upon which things operate in the power structure is blackmail, and that is something that has to be eliminated, because when you begin to trust a politician, you find out that he's being blackmailed, and therefore he can't make a decision in your interest. There was an article this past week about Mr. Wright, the Speaker of the House, Jim Wright, and how he made a deal, maybe I'll have time to go into it later at the end of the hour, made a deal with the National Security Council for meetings that they could send arms to the Contras. Well, Congress didn't know they were doing that. They came through the National Security Council, which I said is running the country all along. And Jim Wright was meeting with the Nicaraguans and Sandinistas and trying to get a peace agreement going. It seemed he was doing it on his own. And then they pulled in scandals of his investments and trusts in Texas, and thereby they control the Speaker of the House through the blackmail of whatever the financial shenanigans are in Texas. That happened with Tip O'Neill. At the time of the Koreagate scandal, they found out that he had Susie Parks and the Korean chicks in a room outside the Senate where they were having their liaisons and sex affairs in between the sessions of the Congress, or even while Congress was going. And Tip O'Neill became compromised so that there wasn't any difference between the Speaker of the House for the Democrats, and the same for Carl Albert, the Speaker of the House at the time of Watergate, who was tied up with Reverend Moon's, the Korea Gate scandal. Moon's had these very attractive Korean women with the Democratic speakers of the House and neutralized them for his own purposes, which are extreme conservatism. The Reagan administration has been in the news for its scandals with editorials, cartoons. A long article in the Washington Post, Reagan administration ethics are under siege, and they recounted again all the different people in the administration, and they only scratched a little bit of the surface. Washington Post, December 17th. Another large article, series of articles that also was on 60 Minutes about Northrop Corporation. That's the one that John Lehman, our former Secretary of Navy, worked with. Northrop officials have had the door in and out of the White House for many, many years. And articles, a cruise missile test allegedly faked from Northrop. San Jose Mercury was one example, December 29th. 32 executives removed from key management positions. They lied about the performance of these missiles. They didn't want to lose the contracts, so they're willing to lose American lives, make the billions of dollars, and lie about the tests and fake the tests and turn in lies so that they, A, could make money, and B, they could make more money. And the consequences of their acts are not important any more than the time when the Challenger went down and Morton Thiokol engineers said it wouldn't go up in a certain temperature, under a certain degree of temperature, and they had it go anyway. And the penalty was nothing, and everybody got contracts again. Rockwell and Morton Thiokol to just make another one, just make billions of dollars, and the country goes into debt, paying the families off for those that were killed and building new machines when, if they obeyed the laws or the rules of the weather, the other Challenger would still be here. There was another large scandalous story about Lawrence Livermore Lab and Rocky Flat in Colorado nuclear plant in the San Jose Mercury, December 13, 1987. It tells about a scandalous diversion of millions of dollars of taxpayers' money. For 17 years, they fraudulently had operations. They had a gift shop where they made mementos of silver from the Department of Energy, from Resources of America, to put in their own pocket money, and working with the prestigious Lawrence Livermore, the scientific weapons manufacturers, and together they built the United States government out of millions of dollars, and they continue to make the lasers and the weapons for Star Wars. Nobody is punished, and Lawrence Livermore continues doing what they're doing, and we never even know if these people go to jail, and it's mind-boggling. The revelation about the Federal Aviation came out December 21st, 1987, and if I just cite one paper, I have maybe two or three stories on these, and you might have seen them, but it's the accumulated total that is so nauseating. This one is FAA investigates a rash of crash hoaxes that in six states people are making up lies about federal aviation crashes that didn't happen. They're talking about the evacuation of helicopters that were supposed to be used that didn't happen. They tell about seriously ill patient that was taken by a helicopter, and people called 911 and said the helicopter crashed and was burning and three people died, and that was a phony call. And maybe they're transferring the helicopters to private armies or soldiers of fortune. And checking it out, they found that the incidences reported were all fake, that they were lies and hoaxes, and that people believed these things happened, and the consequence was that they're counted as crashes and maybe replace this important information, these helicopters and equipment. And there was nobody on there that died, but the helicopter then goes to the hands of somebody else. It's like saying that a certain home and an address burned down. It didn't burn down, and then you can go in and take every single item out and think it burned down, collect the insurance, and it didn't happen. This is happening with federal aviation. One of the most horrendous articles this past week, December 21st, it doesn't go over the wire services. It's San Francisco Examiner, but multiply this if it's going around the country. The title is San Francisco Police Misinformed the State and the FBI. The murder and arrest statistics have been wrong for 10 years. For the past 10 years, San Francisco Police misinformed federal and state authorities about people murdered. They left out such major crimes as robbery and rape that were misreported. There were discrepancies in the murders reported. that were happening there, and the ones that were cleared or solved. And San Francisco reported fewer murders to the FBI from 1976 to 86. They cleared fewer murders that and said they were solved, and they weren't solved. They were supposed to put them on a computer. They misrepresented the murder statistics, and they gave the wrong numbers about the rapes and robberies and major crimes in the city. In the past 2 years, they had tried to make the department's records consistent with FBI reports, and the excuse was that the computer refused to credit the department with a clearance in a solved murder case. And they said the unsolved were listed as solved, and that it was a computer trick. And then they went on to say that in 1985 and 86, if there was a large group of murders, like six people murdered in one instance, they would report it as one death, that it only came in as one death instead of six. So it wasn't accurately reported. The computer examiner blamed most of the problem on programming errors on police computers. It was impossible to report a murder case had been solved, they said. And so there were multiple murder victims that had one clearance for one murder, and maybe six were killed. The FBI was lied to about the amount of murders. We don't have any idea how many of them there were. Then a large article in the San Jose Mercury came out last Sunday, and I'm going to spend a great deal of time on it next week, but an extract of it was in the Mercury December 20th, titled, "Moonies Built Japanese Out of Millions of Dollars." And this is the story of Reverend Moon taking a widow and charging her $66,000 for a $3,000 pagoda and accumulating as much as $800 million from Japanese and telling people they would die if they didn't give money to these religious purposes, and they'd have ginseng tea, and they would talk to widows and take $50,000 at a time and then put it in Washington, D.C. to pay Richard Vogrie and from the Young Americans for Freedom and the far right, and to run the Washington Times, the paper, the only paper Ronald Reagan reads in Washington, D.C., run by Arnold de Borchgrave, working with the CIA and Defense Department and a co-partner with Michael Ledeen. And this article says that since 1980, the Reverend Moon people have claimed there have been 14,000 victims and 165 million taken from a group selling pagodas and urns and rosaries and seals. And they're produced in Korea, sold in Japan. And Reverend Moon brags about having control of the White House, controlling Ronald Reagan. He bailed out Richard Nixon at the time of Watergate. He says he will be the god of the world and he will control America and all the world. And nobody says, well, what about these politicians? And he worked closely, of course, with CAUSA, the organization down in Central America, with the Contras, and with Ollie North and with John Singlau. And, of course, he was very close to Klaus Barbie and his agents in Bolivia with the death squads in Bolivia. And he's bilking people out of millions of dollars of people in Japan, which maybe wouldn't have been concerned to us in the United States, except the $800 million or more subsidizes the Moon Enterprises in the United States, which is to overthrow the United States. And, of course, Reverend Moon was put together by Ryosha Sasakawa, described himself as the number one war criminal fascist, who's still alive, who got a Nobel Peace Prize for great contributions this year, puts money into Jimmy Carter's library and works with Richard Nixon, and he supports the blacks, the Democrats, Republicans. And Moon is supporting a lot of the minorities in this country and the White House, and controls the Washington Times and bilks people around the world for money that then goes into the pockets of our politicians in the United States of America. The Ivan Boesky scandal just finalized this past week. If you can say that, he's going to jail for 3 years. He paid a $100 million penalty for insider trading. And there's something interesting about Boesky and Marvin Warner with his banking scandal in Florida and in Cleveland, and with Roy Cohn, who was to lose his law degree just before he died of AIDS. There are a series of Jewish people, including Henry Crown of General Dynamics, and I want to develop this more in this next year to come, where the leaders of certain companies that are Jewish are being fingered to go to jail or lose their security clearances. And yet the leaders of E.F. Hutton and Merrill Lynch are not touched. And there's a whole series of Jews that have been prosecuted, and it's time these people wake up. I'll take a 1-minute break now.